In our gospel passage taken from the scene of the Last Supper, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Our dear Lord is speaking about the very love of God. St. John, in our second passage, says God is love, and that love is a faithful, self-giving, life-giving love. This is really the love of the Trinity, but also the love that the Trinity has revealed to us. The Father so loved us, he gave us his only Son to give us new life. Jesus gave of himself, perfectly revealing God's truth and love, offering the sacrifice on the cross for our sin, rising to give us the hope of everlasting life, so that you and I could live in the presence of that love here and now. Father and Son gave the Holy Spirit. So always that faithful, self-giving, life-giving love, perfectly revealed by our Savior Jesus Christ. If you and I, though, wanted to meditate upon a good example of how to live that love, we could look to our Blessed Mother Mary. And we appropriately do, because today is Mother's Day. So Mary is the model. First of all, she was chosen and prepared from the very first moment of her life to be the mother of our Savior. So by a special favor of Almighty God, she was conceived and born free of original sin, as we know, the Immaculate Conception. When the Archangel Gabriel announced to her at the appropriate time that she was chosen and prepared to be the mother of Jesus, she, in her own free will, gave of herself. She said, "Yes, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word." With that, Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit, and through her, Jesus Christ, true God, entered this world becoming true man. Mary, the mother. But we shouldn't just stop there. Mary's more than just a conduit for Jesus entering this world. She truly was the mother. She had to raise little Jesus, the Messiah, along with, of course, with the help of Saint Joseph, our Lord's foster father. But nevertheless, Mary, as that mother, was truly the heart of that little home in Nazareth. That Mary is the one that turned that home into a real home. So we can imagine, as a mom, especially in those days, Mary did the cleaning and the cooking, the marketing, the fetching of water at the local well in Nazareth, and all those things. But out of love. Love for her family. We can also picture, especially because of artwork, our Blessed Mother just holding little Jesus in her arms, singing a song to him, praying with him, telling him a story, giving him comfort when he was frightened. Can't we picture Mary taking care of the little boo-boos that Jesus must have had growing up? Yes, all those things, all those loving actions that I hope you and I can relate to, that our own mothers did for us. So what gratitude our dear Lord must have had for the love that his mother showed to him. And what gratitude we ought to have for the love that our moms have shown to us in raising us. Another aspect was that Mary, being the good mom, being the heart of the home, showed and taught Jesus a proper respect for Saint Joseph, the head of the home. In that one scene where Jesus is 12 years old, he's lost in the temple, Mary and Joseph find him, Mary says, "Son, didn't you know your father and I were worried about you? Not simply I was worried about you, not I and your father, no, your father and I." Mary realized the importance of Saint Joseph, even though he was just the foster father, She realized the importance, and she showed little Jesus that proper respect for his father. And that's what a good mother should do also. Now, we have, therefore, really a God-given vocation, a vocation given to a mother who is entrusted with this precious life. Pope John Paul II wrote, "Motherhood is woman's vocation. It is an eternal vocation, and it is also a contemporary vocation. The world is particularly hungry and thirsty for that motherhood which is woman's vocation physically and spiritually, as it is Mary's. Everything must be done in order that the dignity of this splendid vocation may not be broken in the inner life of the new generations, in order that the authority of the woman mother may not be diminished in the family, social, and public life, and in the whole of our civilization." Pope John Paul II would also comment that the decline of any society, any civilization, is really due to a decline in the family, and particularly in motherhood and also fatherhood. But there's another important spiritual aspect, and this is where Mary shows her motherhood to us, but at the same time is teaching mothers how to be good spiritual mothers for their children. So from the few glimpses of the gospel, Mary always presented Jesus to others, be it the Magi or the shepherds. Mary interceded at the first miracle, the wedding feast of Cana. She saw a disaster about to happen. She makes that known to her son, and she simply says to the waiters, "Do whatever he tells you." She stood at the foot of the cross. How her heart must have been breaking. Imagine seeing her own flesh and blood, her son, treated in such an awful way. But with faith, she knew this was part of the plan of salvation. And in faith, she stood there, not only to comfort Jesus, but to show the hope of the resurrection. And then, we have to, before I forget, Pope John Paul II said, even though it's not in the Gospels and it's not dogmatic, that our Lord must have, on the day of Easter, appeared to our Blessed Mother first, to show his mother that he was okay, alive. And then the last scene, our Blessed Mother is at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, filling them with those gifts to continue the mission. She's there for the birth of the church, and we call her, therefore, Mother of the Church. Well, take those four aspects, those four scenes from the gospel. Moms, present Christ to your children. Make Christ known. Bring them to Christ by praying with them every day. Not only grace at meals, kneeling with them at bedtime prayers. Don't just say, go up and say your prayers. Kids won't do it, just like they won't brush their teeth. You have to watch them, pray with them, teach them the commandments, those basic rules of life that we need to follow. And then, as they grow older, apply those commandments to their present age. Secondly, intercede for them. So pray for your children each day, as well as the father, too. But pray for your family members. Each child is different, so each one deserves his own or her particular prayer. But also intercede in the sense that when you see disaster coming, and mothers can see when a child's life is headed on a path of disaster, don't be afraid to intercede. No matter how old you are, be able to intercede and give the good advice. Even if the child may ignore that, and some do, continue to pray. I think of how St. Monica shed copious tears as she saw her son, wayward Augustine, going on these wrong paths of life. But the local bishop reassured her that God would never ignore such copious tears. Eventually, Augustine converts, becomes a saint, and we can't deny much of it was due to the intercession of his own mother. And then also, stand faithfully, strongly, in those good Fridays of life. We all have them. Children face the disasters, failures, the setbacks. And when a young person is just starting off in life, those experiences can be crippling. But if a mom is strong, that child can know that that Good Friday will eventually give way to the Easter Sunday. And then, be the good mother of the church in your own home. As John Paul II always said, the home is the domestic church. Children need to have that connection. It's not just Sunday Mass. It has to be home. So mothers, nurture that good Christian Catholic identity in your home. That's the foundation they need so that then when they go off for life, they have the foundation to build upon. So God bless all of our mothers. And not just perhaps our physical moms, but our grandmothers, godmothers. And we pray also for those other spiritual mothers that may have touched our lives. How important it is in our world today to have good mothers. A couple of weeks ago, we had those awful riots in Baltimore. And we saw all these teenagers out on the streets. And not only did I think, well, where are the fathers? But statistics show that most of those kids don't have a father present in their lives. So one has to ask, well, where were the moms? I don't know if you saw the broadcast, but there was one mother who saw her teenage son, and she is a single mom of six. She saw her teenage son, and she went out into that mob, grabbed her son, gave him some good positive reinforcement, and dragged him home. Well, we need good moms like that. Because even though, especially in our world today, there are many single moms, a great mom can make all the difference. I've always admired for years now Dr. Ben Carson. And I first was introduced to him when one of our own parish children, about 7 years ago, had to have surgery. And he was the neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins who operated. And then I saw him on PBS and so on. But here he is, this neurosurgeon, which I admire. But he was raised by a single mom. His dad left at an early age. She worked three jobs sometimes just to raise Ben Carson and his brother Curtis. In his autobiography called Gifted Hands, here is what he wrote, worth listening to. My mother, a young woman with hardly any education, came from a large family and had many things against her. Yet she pulled off a miracle in her own life and helped in ours. I can still hear Mother's voice, no matter how bad things were, saying, Benny, we're going to be fine. Those weren't empty words either, for she believed them. And because she believed them, Curtis and I believed them too. And they provided a comforting assurance for me. Part of Mother's strength came from a deep-seated faith in God. She was a prayer warrior. She had an innate ability to inspire Curtis and me to know she meant every word she said. We knew we weren't rich, yet no matter how bad things got for us, we didn't worry about what we'd have to eat or where we would live. Our growing up without a father put a heavy burden on our mother. She didn't complain, at least not to us, and she didn't feel sorry for herself. She tried to carry the whole load, and somehow I understood what she was doing. No matter how many hours she had to work away from us at work, I knew she was doing it for us. That dedication and sacrifice made a profound impression on my life. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my mother." I'm not sure I want to say it quite like that, but my mother, Sonia Carson, was the earliest, strongest, and most impacting force in my life. It would be impossible to tell about my accomplishments without starting with my mother's influence. What a great story. So, mothers, take this all to heart. God has given you the gift of your children, and you're called to be a holy gift, a gift to them. Take this to heart. Look to the example of our Blessed Mother. I am very thankful for my mom, who's still alive, 89 years old, still tells me what to do, still gives me advice, still prays for me, but thank God for our moms. And with that, I ask all mothers to please stand for the special Mother's Day blessing. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Let us all stand now and profess our faith. I believe.